But as I watched all the incredible things that have happened in that, just those highlights, so many people that I'm thankful to God for being around and being available. So this morning, we just wanted to say thank you. We wanted to honor people who are serving so faithfully, committed in the church.
Yes, and it's a big list and it's up on there, but we want to just highlight this. So we have our wonderful trustees who look after legal and policies and now responsible for this wonderful building of ours. We have our Sunday Zones team and the support helpers that are in there. And we also have Ashwood Centre cleaning people.
Yes, we do. Whoop, whoop.
Whoop to those.
Just to let you know, we're going to thank all these people at the end, so you don't have
to
do it
now.
Yes. Yes. So we've got the Ashwood Centre management and caretaking. Now, this is not a well-defined thing, but you do a lot of it, and Dave Redfern does a lot of it. So we wanted
and
to thank you particularly,
people,
and our other people as well. I know that. We just thanked our worship team, which includes the wonderful people who sit at the back and make things come on the screen and make everything sound so good. We've got our staff team.
Yep.
Most of the people we're talking about are volunteers, and volunteers are really the lifeblood of everything that happens in church. But of course, it's important for us also to have some people who are released as part of our staff team. So who do they include?
They include, get my teeth in, Janet on pastoral coordination, administration, leadership. We've got Louise on community coordination. That also includes food bank, Christmas events, Heaven Sent, community cafe, and plenty more. Neil, our lovely youth worker and leading our youth team, thanks to the youth team as well. Becky on finance, Dave Ransom on leadership, and we feature in there too.
We're in there too as well. We're thanking our youth team, we're thanking the justice group, we're thanking our welcome and hospitality team, both the old teams and the new teams, because we've just changed it all. We're thanking the food bank team.
We're thanking discipleship and the care team, who oversee all sorts of various aspects of care and support in the church across all generations, including our 18 to 30s. Sunday prayer team, who don a badge at the end. We're thankful for them and all those that are meeting hosts and speakers.
We're thanking our wider children's team, the people who organise the things that happen outside of our Sunday meetings. We are particularly grateful for our life group leaders and our support life group leaders, aren't we? Yes.
Yeah.
We've got a seesaw team, Claire, who look after toddlers during the week.
They're
amazing.
They're amazing. We also have on Thursday nights some detached youth work teams and people on teams down here looking after youth. We had an alpha team and a hospitality team looking after that. And we have people who look after safeguarding. And also on our senior leadership team, alongside Matt and I, we have Dave and Zoe.
We are incredibly grateful. And I wonder if just for a moment, if you were mentioned in there or you know that you serve in the church, I wonder if we could just stand together. And I'd love us just to say thank you and to honour those people who serve us in all these different many ways. Let's say thank you.
Holiday Club, Holiday Club.
Young people as well serving. So, so, so good.
It's brilliant.
It's great to be part of the wider Ashwood team, isn't it?
It sure is, yes. And we already thanked them, but today some of those are happening now is our Zones team and support leaders and the kids. Why don't you come on out? We always like to change things up a bit here. Go with the times. If you're in Y zone or O zone, listen out, boys and girls. Y zone or O zone, you're with me and Joel as a group today. Mandy can come too. Anyone else? No, you want them in here. You want them in here. So we'll go out there. So let's pray. Church, why don't you look across this amazing group of kids? Pinpoint one in your mind so that you can personally now pray for them. We thank you, God, for our Ashwood kids. We love them. We think they're great. But more importantly, you love them and think that they're great. And today, you want to have an encounter with them. You want to teach them something. You want to have fun with them. And so we ask a huge blessing as we go out for the next part of our meeting. In Jesus' name, we shout, Amen! Or Amen.
So, everybody doing okay? Is the shirt growing on you yet? Let's not go into that again. Right. So, Vision Sunday. So as we're going to, there's going to be, those of you who've not been around for one of our Vision Sundays before, there's going to be a whole bunch of people who are going to share different things from the front. I mentioned before, we're going to do some looking back. So if you're new to the church, there'll be some things that will be interesting to you as we look forward. Then hopefully there's things that are interesting to all of us as well. And because there'll be a number of people up here chatting, we thought today we would celebrate with popcorn. So you'll see there's popcorn being passed around so that you can just munch on some popcorn while you're listening. That seems like a good thing to do, doesn't it? I think so. If you're allergic to popcorn, of course, don't eat it. That would be silly. So, Vision Sunday. So why Vision Sunday? Well, it's important for any organization to understand why it exists. Think about it, whether you're a small business, a large multinational company, a charity, a club, a society, a government agency even. I know there are visions within government agencies, or, as we are, a church. It's really important to be clear on our purpose and for these organizations to be clear on their purpose. Otherwise, if we're not clear on our purpose, then we can end up doing the wrong things or sometimes even no things, which is obviously not good. And you will know some famous examples of organizations that have very clear vision statements about the things that they are aiming to achieve and do, and it's the purpose for the things that the reason why they exist. And the reason we use this word vision is because it's very much linked to what we can see. There's lots of examples around. There's examples in the Bible as well. Remember, at the start of the Bible, at the story of Abraham, the whole thing of vision is why God takes Abraham outside and he says to him, look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. So God's into vision because he uses it to describe to Abraham, to make his point, and says, look at all these stars in the sky. There's a pretty big vision, isn't it? This is like the number of descendants you will have. So God uses this vision, this picture, to be able to portray the message that he wants to make to Abraham. It's also why Martin Luther King, for example, in his famous speech, said, I have a dream. He wanted to talk, he painted a picture of what it was going to look like, didn't he? He didn't say, I have a 48-page document. He said, I have a dream. And then he talked about what that would look like, didn't he? You know it, I'm sure. I have a dream that one day, four little children will live in a nation where they'll not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. He had a vision, didn't he? Very, very powerful. And that's why I think it's important for us to also have a vision. I think it's just, this is an aside, but I think it's important that we have a vision for our own lives so that we know the reason why we exist and our purpose. If you don't know the reason something exists, then you never can get it totally right, and we can actually even abuse it. So Abraham, Martin Luther King, they had big dreams, big visions. And of course, if God inspires the vision, then that's even better. So as Ashwood Church, what is our vision? What do we see? Well, our vision as Ashwood Church is that we will be and continue to be a spiritually healthy, growing church for all ages. I think we should say that together. A spiritually healthy, growing church for all ages. So think about it. Our vision as Ashwood Church, if we look ahead and we look now, we say this is what we expect to see. So if you think about it, you are the vision. I am the vision. It's who we are now, but it's also who we are going to be. So what do we want to see? Well, we are believing, we're believing God for a spiritually healthy version of you, a spiritually healthy version of you, a spiritually healthy version of me that is connected together as church, as I read at the start, to be the family of God, the kingdom agents of change on the earth that God has placed us in, so that we can be his representative, his witness, and we can be the people of God in the earth today. That's a pretty good picture. So our vision is the spiritually healthy version of you joined with a spiritually version of the person sat next to you and the spiritually healthy version of me so that we can be God's people together. It's a pretty big vision as well. And the thing which is great about it is that it's not just that there'll be a spiritually healthy version of you or me, but it says, we're saying that our vision is that we will grow. Does that mean that we will, is there an expectation that there will be more people in the room at different points in time? Yes, that is what it means. But it also means that there is an expectation that we as people will grow in our faith, will grow in our understanding, and we will grow, as we've said this year, in a year of transformation, more like Jesus himself. And our vision is outworked in what we would describe as our mission. So our mission, which is actually, we believe, is God's mission, part of the great commission of Matthew 28 that Jesus described before he left earth for heaven. Our mission, we would describe, is helping people find and follow Jesus. So everything that we do and everything that we are comes from our vision and our mission. So for example, let me give you some examples to be able to demonstrate it. Why do we say to every adult member of the church, why do we encourage every adult member of the church to be part of a life group? Well, life group is a small group of people, and we've just thanked our life group leaders who and our support leaders for serving in this area. But the reason we do it is so that we can together grow spiritually, we can build relationships, we can support, but we can receive support, but we can also be people who give support and together, as a group, do life together and follow Jesus together. That's why we do life groups. And why do we spend, as another example, why do we give so much of our time and our attention to children and young people? Well, it's because our vision says that we want to be a spiritually healthy, growing church for all ages. So, of course, the children and young people are, they're a vital part of who we are as church today. They're also a vital part of church in the future, aren't they? And, you know, sometimes there are sadly examples of where churches have not placed their focus and their emphasis on young people, making sure that that is such a priority. And you'll see sometimes if we're not careful, we are not growing the next generation because, of course, they are the future generations of church. Why do we send a team to Malawi? Well, we're helping people find and follow Jesus in the holistic sense of what that means. Why do we have a youth weekend last year and this year? Well, because we want to help people of all ages find and follow Jesus. So if they've found Jesus already, then we can help them follow Jesus. If they're still discovering what finding Jesus looks like, then there's a great opportunity for them to do that as well. Why are we going to go onto the park in July for an event called Heaven Sent? Because it's part of helping people find and follow Jesus. So we want our mission, helping people find and follow Jesus, to flow out of our vision to see a spiritually healthy growing church for all ages. And we want all of our activities and our events, we can kind of benchmark whether they're things that we'd want to do or not, because do they fit in with our vision and our mission? If they don't, then really we don't want to do them. So last year, or just over a year ago, on our Vision Sunday then, we put, as part of our presentation, we put up this slide, which is our what we call our strategy circles. And you don't need to be able to see all the words, it's really just an illustration. But we looked to plan all the events and our activities around our vision and our mission. And lots of the things you've seen on the photos this morning and the things that we've celebrated in terms of teams that lead, they're all part of our strategy circles. And what we said we were helping us, this helps us to do, is to say that there are people who we don't know that well who are part of our community, if you like, as church. There are people who are what we describe as the crowd, who are connected in some way, but they're distant from us as church, then there are people who are part of our committed, who are committed to us as church, some of you, many of you in the room, and then the center we have, the core, and we recognize that our activities and our events, some of them are aimed at the core people in church, some of them are aimed at the committed people, some are aimed at the crowd, and some are aimed at the community. But our intention is that we have things that are activities which will have touch points for each of those different areas that we can connect with people. Because if we want to help people find and follow Jesus, then it's got to be more than the people in this room right now, but we've got to have a plan as to how we're going to help people. We're interested in both meeting people's needs, also meeting them where they are at, but also one day we want to have a plan where we can help them find and follow Jesus. That's really our mission. That's really what it's all about. So a year ago, we put this up, and we used this as the way that our teams would focus the events and activities of the church. And you can't see all of the details, but there's so many things on there that that the church is involved with, which is both hugely encouraging and amazing to think that us as Team Ashwood get to take part in so many different things. So that was a year ago. We also had this next slide. Because we said, okay, the strategy circles is great. There's lots of things on there, but what are the things that that are going to be our focus in 2018 and 2019? These were things that we weren't doing, but we recognised that actually there were some gaps where we could help connect people from the crowd and the community to the committed and the core by doing some of these things as part of an outworking of our mission. So this morning, what we wanted to do was to give you a bit of an update on some of the things that we have on this slide here this morning. So we've invited a number of people who are just going to come up here for a few moments to share some stories. You're going to be encouraged. Listen carefully to what they have to say. So we've got Esther, who leads our Sunday Zones team and is part of our wider kids team. She's going to come in a moment. Dave's going to come with some of his team to feedback on Alpha. Neil's going to come up here. I already mentioned him, who's our youth worker and leads our youth team. And then Louise is going to come and wrap things up at the end. So we're going to share some of those stories. So Esther, would you like to kick us off? Let's welcome Esther.
Thank you, Matt. Yeah, I just want to share with you a little bit about what the kids team, what we've been doing for the last year or so. We've had vision and mission of what Matt's been talking about in our minds, and we decided that it would be great for some of the children that we're not connecting with yet, or we have a bit of a connection with in the community, to try and draw them in. And so in October, we ran a two-day holiday club. So we met here for a couple of hours one day, and then a couple of hours the next day, and we called it Pumpkin Heroes, and we had good attendance, and then we were able to invite them to either to the light party, which happened in the evening, and then they were invited to Sunday the next day. And so we had a kind of a progression of things that we could invite the children to, so it wasn't just like a one-off fun event and then no backup or anything else. So we did that in October and it went really well. Then we had a Valentine's disco going on in February, and we got a good attendance to that. And at that event, we were then able to invite them to a holiday club that we were inviting to at Easter time. And so this was kind of aimed at primary age, kind of infants and juniors. None of us really on the team had really done any of these events before, but we knew that we had the heart for it, and God gave us a passion for it. And it was absolutely fantastic. So we did the Easter holiday club for 4 days. We had a great team of volunteers, and we were just doing it in God's strength. The Holy Spirit really took over, because we're saying, look, we've never done this before. We don't believe we have all the skills, but we want to see it happen. Please help us, God. And he so did. And it was absolutely brilliant. The whole atmosphere was just amazing. From the whole team, there was a real unity between the younger people who were helping as well as us older ones. And we had about 30-ish children each day. And there was a real mix of church and non-church children, possibly more on the non-church side. but their behaviour was fantastic, which meant that just everything that we were planning and doing just ran so, so well. It was really good. And we were able to just spend some time with them in groups, as well as having the kind of the corporate games and the songs and the activities that we were doing. And as you can see from that photo, we had actually some quite deep times when they had time to kind of be with God, talk to God. And we gave them an opportunity on the last day that if they wanted to make that decision to follow Jesus, then they could. And we said a prayer. And then we asked them to put their hands up if they had prayed that prayer. And it was just amazing. We had about 10 or so children putting their hands up. And we had special booklets for them. And their leader spoke to them. And so... that was just a real highlight. That was brilliant. From then, we're now planning what's next, because that's always our aim. What's next? We don't just want to leave them hanging. We had some of the children were invited. Well, they were all invited back Easter Sunday. Some of them came with their families, which was so encouraging. And also, we're going to have a kind of a holiday club extra reunion thing that we can invite them to in a month or so's time. So always we're looking at what can we do for them, how can we get the children in, inviting them to find and follow Jesus, but what's next as well. So that's an update so far. So I'm really excited about the next year. So
great. And Esther and the kids team do an absolutely amazing job with our kids, and there's an awful lot that goes on behind the scenes, and we just want to thank them. Esther's just busy rushing off to do some more kids stuff out there, which is great. So Alpha, we ran Alpha from January right through till just before Easter. Really good time of year actually to run that, because actually the guys who are going to come and help me, if you want to wander out now as well. It was a good time of year because it was sort of off the back of all the Christmas stuff. But at quite a potentially gloomy time of year, I felt for me being involved with it was a real breath of fresh air. We had an absolutely amazing team running that, making everything happen to a really high quality standard. So whether you were part of the team or whether you were one of the guests, we had a great time all together. And every week, everybody... there was a genuine feeling that, you know, it was great to be together and to share Alpha. If you're not familiar with Alpha, Alpha's a really helpful course to be on, whether you've been a Christian for ages or whether you're a part of your journey where you're just searching it, not really sure, and you just want an environment where you can explore some of that stuff. Wherever we were at, I'm sure that we all grew. Now, I've asked Dave, who was part of the team, to share something with us, and Vic, who came as a guest, to share with us. So I'll hand over to them.
Fantastic. I believe it's true what we say, that teamwork makes the dream work. And it was just brilliant. The whole thing for me about Alpha is it's grace first. We kind of, it's about kind of just being generous people that we talked about at the kind of conference last year about our generous journey. We talked about, it was just incredible the way that God brought together different skills, different strengths in the team. And then we were able to kind of cover each other's back for, you know, the kind of, strengths and weaknesses, and love each other in that. It was great fun. We had a lot of laughs. It was just really good to see that kind of the journey that we were on together and the way that we grew together, the friendships that built up with, I think towards the end, you kind of almost, it wasn't clear as to which was team and which was the guests, because there was that sense of being a family together, wasn't there? Yeah. So, it's just really good. I'm looking forward to the next one. What's next? When's the next one?
Okay. I thought it was going to be questions and answers, so it's put me on the spot here. But Alpha, why did I do Alpha? Well, my wife and I, we had such a blessed year last year, blessed to be a blessing in everything, and it happened in our lives. And this year, I just wanted to get more of a feel of what church is more about and get more involved, and decided I was going to go as a guest and just find out, because I'd not done anything with Alpha before. So I went along, and it blew me away. absolutely blew me away. But it was a massive, massive bonus at Alpha this year. And I have a brother, and he's a mess, and he's a drug user, and he's an alcoholic. And I thought there's no way he would go on the Alpha course. And we prayed, us three actually prayed for him on the Sunday before it started. And I thought it's not going to happen, but I went away. And we prayed for him at Life Group on the Monday night. And the Tuesday morning, the day it was due to start, God just said to me, text Adrian, I'll do the rest. And we did. In fact, I got Michelle to do it. And because sometimes you can be too close. And me and my brother have not always got on. So I got Michelle to do it. But anyway, and he didn't contact Michelle. He rung me and he says, I'll do it. And he came. And he didn't do the whole course, but he came. And he's done the course and seeds have been sown. And what a great thing. And he's still struggling. But he has a passion for church and he wants to be involved and he wants to know what I'm doing in church. He wants to know if there's any more events he can come to. And he's going to other church. I take him to Battelle every other Friday. And he doesn't get involved, but he loves being there. Yeah. And it's a start. And that's what it is all about for me, bringing people to Jesus. But that aside, the course itself, I absolutely loved it. It was being with people, getting to know. I'm not singling anyone out, but getting to know Paul and Louise, who were our table leader and support, just fantastic. So I just love the whole thing, and I'm looking forward to the next one. And I'm now doing the Bible course, which is a great follow-up, and I'm also loving that, and I'm going to be there, and brilliant. And I just loved it, and that's it.
Brilliant. Fantastic. Yeah, so Vic phoned me up. I think I was on the way to the first evening. He said, look, my brother's coming. I know it's really last minute. We don't need to eat. It's fine. And I was like, no, there's plenty of food and there's loads. And the team, and I have to say, and they've already picked up on it, we had so many laughs together over the whole thing. It was just an awful lot of fun that we had. And I felt that I'd grown in my journey just being together with all the guys that made up Alpha, whether they were guests or team members or anything like that. And it's an important one of our priorities, and it is something that we will be running again in January. And I would just like to encourage you, if you want to get involved, come and speak to us. We're going to be running some training. If you want to be on team, come and talk to us. We're going to be running some training over the autumn. If you want to just come and be a guest, you know, Vic and Michelle, they've been Christians for ages anyway, but they went, yeah, we see the benefit of that. And that is good. That's good to come along from that perspective as well. If those of you who've done the course want to come and be on team, come and talk to us as well. It's as well as it being good fun, there's a lot of purpose and a lot of excitement seeing God do what he does in it. So thank you, Alpha team. Thank you, everyone who's been part of that. And I am now handing over to... This is nearly seamless. To Neil, who's going to tell us an update on youth.
I was just going to say, can we give Dave a thanks, and also Dave Redfern and Vic as well, because they do loads of other stuff that's really good. I'm going to invite Eden up. I'm just going to share about growing spirituality in young people's lives and kind of what we've done this last year and what we're planning to do. But Eden's got a message for us quickly.
Për disa njerëz, Bibla është e boshë dhe s'ka asnjë gjë brenda. Për disa njerëz, Bibla ka histori, por nuk është ndonjë gjë të bukur. Për disa njerëz, Bibla është mbushur me ngjyrë.
Okay, so I'm hoping that you've captured all what Eden said, and I just need to sit down. But I've got a bit of a feeling that you didn't, and relax yourselves, because he's not made any comments about Matt's shirt in kind of what he said, but he was talking about the difficulties of reading the Bible. And sometimes for young people, the Bible is a bit like a foreign language, and some of the words are just difficult for them to unpick and understand. So I've actually done some research over the last 6 months about how we engage young people with the Bible, and our young people were great because they gave me some great ideas and gave me some knowledge as well. And I actually came up with these three things that actually help faith formation in young people. And one of them is knowledge. So we asked some of the young people to read Luke's gospel. And I think they looked at me and thought, this man's a little bit crazy. We are not going to sit and read Luke's gospel. But Eden and a number of the other young people did. And we also did other activities with the young people as well, centered around some of the stories in Luke's gospel. And we just wanted them to discover who Jesus was and discover just more about him. So can you tell me just a little bit about what happened when you read Luke's gospel?
Whilst I was reading the Luke's gospel, I got messages for a couple of people that I know, one being a cousin and one being just a leader at a different church. And I told them the message that I had for them, and they felt spiritually blessed.
And it was amazing to kind of see what the young people learn and how they could kind of picture the context that Jesus was in and kind of understand a bit more about the life of Jesus and the person Jesus was. And another thing that we do is, because a lot of our work's about kind of connecting people, and we want to connect them with God, as well as kind of the great youth team that we've got who kind of serve the young people. And could you just tell us a little bit about the youth residential?
A lot of what goes on at the youth residential's can get quite personal. It's quite good for building friendship with other people within the youth group. It's good for building up your spirit with God, and makes you feel quite close to God afterwards.
So my research kind of revealed that young people kind of have this spiritual growth when they kind of understand more about God and have a good Bible knowledge. They connect with people, they connect with God, but also they have a good experience and they experience life. They go to residentials and actually they practice their faith in the context that they're in. And one of the things we've been doing is going into Kirkby College and kind of just making God plausible to those young people. So part of faith formation is it's got to start with actually that opportunity to consider, is God a plausible option? So we actually reach through a normal week through youth club activities. Last year we were hitting kind of between 60 and 90 young people we're making contact with, including our church young people. And it's been amazing that as we've shared life with these young people, that we've got the option to make God a plausible thing. And Eden, do you remember last week we prayed for three young people who come to the Thursday night group? And Eden had a conversation with one of them this week, and I won't get him to share it because I've not asked him to do it. But this young person asked Eden, do you pray? And Eden said, yeah, of course I do. And this young person, after we'd prayed for them last week, said, well, actually, before I did my English exam, I started to pray. So that's like an amazing thing that actually the young people are starting that journey. Great thing we do is we have kind of connections between the team, and we kind of try and work together with the community team. So we work together for Heaven Sent and stuff. But Louise is going to share some thoughts about what they do as a community team.
Thank you, Neil. Okay, I'm going to talk about Cafe 22, a bit of promo here, just in case you know. So Cafe 22 launched on the 1st of April. We've currently run 5 Mondays because there's been about 20 bank holidays in between. So we've only managed 5 sessions. So Cafe 22, if you're not aware, is a cafe for the community. So it is accessible for absolutely everybody, regardless of your financial situation, because everything is free. So you can put in a donation if you want to. If you don't, then you take it as a blessing. I have to say, we do have the best cake in Kirkby, I think, due to our lovely bakers who contribute every week. When we first started, I thought, yep, cafe, great idea in the community. But then, like, the day before, I was like, who's going to come? What if nobody comes at all? That is not the case. It has been amazing from the day we started. Every week, there is an amazing buzz about the whole place. We have lots of people who have come every week. We have new people come through the door every single week. There's been somebody new. We've had mums from Seesaw. We've had people being neighbours, family. We did have a lady the week before the bank holiday. She came sort of like 5 to 12 and she walked in and I'm like, it's 12 o'clock, why is she walking in now? So she sat down, somebody served her, she had some food and stuff. And there was nobody else in the room to go and talk to her. So I was a little bit out of my comfort zone, so like, I'll go and speak to this lady, sat down. An older lady, and I sort of said, you know, how are you? And then she said, I'm really sorry that I've come so late. She said, I've been outside for ages trying to kind of build up the courage to walk in. So after quite a lot of conversation with her, she has no friends, she has no family. She kind of walks around the town just to see, just to get her out the house type thing. I had a really long conversation with her. She does have some kind of mental health which stopped her from coming in and kind of mixing with new people, but she absolutely loved it. She really opened up. As she was leaving, I walked to the door to show her the way out, and she kind of leant forward and she gave me a hug and a kiss. And those of you that know me know that that is really not what I engage in. However, I thought, actually, I might be the only person that this lady might speak to today or even the whole week. So I'm hoping it was before bank holiday, so she will remember to kind of come back again. But this is one of the reasons why we do what we do. And we have a great team of people who I am so thankful for that are here every week, help me set up, bake, serve, chat. I can't explain how good it is. If you've not been, then please do come. I know some of you obviously work Mondays and stuff. And we do close bank holidays. But the last bank holiday, the amount of people that said to me, are you open tomorrow? And I was like, no, it's bank holiday. But in the summer holidays, we are going to stay open for some of that. So hopefully more of you will be able to come. I have got a couple more stories, so I've got permission to share. So we do Mondays. But then as the holiday club run in the Easter, we decided to keep it open the whole of that week so families could stay rather than go home and come back for their kids. And it was amazing. It was full every day with parents and younger siblings and stuff. So we had a young person come in who then sent me a message after coming for the first time. Obviously, a lot of the young people wouldn't necessarily get to come because they are in school. This is the message I got. If I can find it, at the end of the day. I have got permission, but I won't use their name, just to not embarrass them. Hi, Louise. Just wanting to say that Cafe 22 was very nice, and I wanted to go tomorrow. Thanks a lot. So I was like, great, look forward to seeing you. Then I find out after his mum tells me kind of later on that he thought he loved it that much that when he gets older, and he's allowed to come into Kirkby by himself and he can hang out with his mates, this is where he's going to come and this is where he's going to bring his mates because it was that good. So that was one story. And then we had another one who... So one of the children that came to the holiday club, his mum, I don't think he came on the first day, but then as the mum came to pick him up, they came into the cafe to wait because they were a bit earlier with an older brother. I think it was about 13. So they came in, just had a drink. The mum was like, no, I'm fine, thank you. But the boy kind of got what he wanted, sat down. Next day came in, again, a bit earlier. I think they want to stay a bit longer. And then by the Thursday morning, the whole family came in for their breakfast, had cake, loved it. And then on the Sunday, the family then came to church through the Backpackers Club. The royal family came for the cafe, came to church. I happened to be on welcome that day, so recognised and welcomed them. Later that evening, I had a Facebook message. I'm not friends with these people, don't know them. Had a Facebook message, if I can find it. And it said, thank you for being so kind to the children's names this past week in Cafe 22. It was lovely when you remembered them both this morning. And obviously, I just happened to be on welcome that day. I remembered their names, addressed them, you know, how are you, et cetera, et cetera. She then sent me a friend request on Facebook and we had a bit of a conversation. And she said that they couldn't come to church the following Sunday because they had some other previous plans, but the kids can't wait when they can next come to church. Then, following on from that, this week actually, so then the older boy who actually does have autism and doesn't really go out a lot and mix and engage in new situations. Then on Facebook this week, this went up. Said person had a fantastic night at youth club and did karaoke, picked all the Greatest Showman songs and came home with a letter to sign up for Football Fridays. He's all legs and has two left feet. So I shall sign that for him. All good things for meeting new people, trying new things, and in itself and in a safe environment. I'm so glad I signed his brother up for Holiday Club during Easter because they are both getting so much from Ashwood Church. Amazing. So we've gone from the one boy coming to Holiday Club to the family coming into the cafe to them now engaging on Thursday evenings at Youth Club. There was another message that I can't remember what it said, but it said, like, you know, she was so nervous. He's never been to a youth club. He's never been out of a family situation or a school situation, but she's letting him go. They feel safe that he's here, building relationships. So hopefully one day soon they will be here again on a Sunday. Back to the cafe. If you haven't been, like I say, I encourage you to come. It's great. If you can't make it, obviously tell your friends, your neighbours, your relatives. It really has. I can't say enough how much I have loved every Monday and look forward to the next Monday coming, which is tomorrow. So can't wait.
So good, isn't it? And I loved, we asked Louise to finish with that story, because you just see how all those things get connected. And what we're talking about with the whole circles thing is saying, well, how could we make it possible for people to find their way from a holiday, from a cafe to a holiday club to Sunday mornings, to help people find and follow Jesus? Encouraging, isn't it? Hopefully you are encouraged too. And of course, this morning, just very quickly before we move on, of course, this morning our main purpose isn't a recruitment drive for all the things that we're talking about. I'm very aware that when you hear people speak from up here, it sounds like, you know, that we are thanking the teams. They do an incredible job. And I've heard sometimes people say, well, it sounded like it was all sewn up and there wasn't anything that I could do to contribute. The teams do really well, but let me tell you, sometimes they really have to work incredibly hard, because, you know, they just have to make things happen. So if people have dropped out or people can't make it, then we just have to kind of make do with the people that we've got in the safe environment. And so although it does sound incredibly good and we are grateful for the teams, there is, let me tell you, there is space always on all of the teams that we're talking about. So please don't hear the wrong message, which is, there is no space for me on a team. That's not the case. But anyone who stood up here this morning would be grateful for you to speak to them and say, how could I get involved? Amen. So just as we finish, that was the looking back, but it's also, as I hope you can see, is very connected with our vision and our mission looking forward. Wanted to give you a bit of an update in terms of our building project. I'm not going to go over all the history. Some of you who've been around will know the journey that we've been on as church. If you want to know some more, please come and talk to us. But just very quickly, the Ashwood Centre here, we have used as church for over the last 16 years. But only since last August has the church owned the Ashwood Centre. That's the summary of everything that's happened in the last 16 years. So effectively, it's been our home for the last 16 years, but we've only owned it since August. And it's been a great place for us. It still is a great place for us. All the things that happen that we talked about, many of them happen in the Ashwood Centre. It's not just on a Sunday. It's during a week. But one of the things that we recognised is that this place won't fulfil all of our needs forever as we look into the future. And the place we started from is what as God says. It's always a good place to start. And God has said a number of things to us, specifically relation to buildings. One that I'll mention now is that actually in 2003, the first time that we met together as church in this room, Graham Bell, some of you will know him, who was the leader of the church at the time, my dad, Molly's husband, he said, he was a guy who heard what God was saying and often spoke it into us on many, many occasions. And he said, after all the work and effort that had come into being in this place, he said that he felt God was saying that one day this room would not be big enough. It seemed like a funny thing for us to talk about on the first day we'd arrived. But if God says something, then we listen to what God says. Also, fast forward many, many, many years. 2 years ago, we had Paul Brown back, a friend of ours from Texas, and he came to us, didn't know all our situation, didn't know all the background, but he said that he felt there was this verse out of Isaiah chapter 28, said the bed is too short to stretch out on, basically saying that he felt that actually God was saying to us that in our future, there needed to be somewhere that was would be a bigger space for us to be able to do the things that we need to do. And of course, from a practical point of view, there are some maintenance things. You know, buildings don't last forever. And there are some signs that there is evidence, if you look closely, that this building won't last forever. Of course, in a year of transformation, we've been involved in doing things to make sure that in the interim, before our new home for Ashwood, that this home is suitable and is a good fit for us as church. So you'll see, those of you who drive past the front of the building, doesn't it look impressive now? It looks incredible, doesn't it? And those of you who've been to Cafe 22 will know that room has had a whole facelift as well. And there's been other things around the centre to make it a great place for us to be in our interim. But it's not our long-term future. And we just want to give you a bit of an update this morning on what that looks like. And as we do that, hopefully you'll see it's very connected to our vision and our mission. And Dom, if you'd like to come up, I want to just show you one of the things that Dom's just going to actually talk about, some of the recent conversations that we've had in terms of our vision and our focus. And then Zoe's going to pick up and show how that connects to where we're at from a building point of view. Is that okay? Just have a quick stretch for a moment. That's it. They're just stretching, Dom, and then you can talk to them.
Here you go. Morning, everyone. I've just been asked to speak about sort of a vision that we had for, well, originally it was, I'll go into it in a sec. So when I look around our nation and our country, it's one of the things that struck me is sort of, for me personally, it's the breakdown in community, and a lot of our issues come about because of that issue of community breaking down. And I remember me and Rowan having a conversation. She's my wife, for anyone who doesn't know. One day, and she said she feels like our marriage will be a place for the lonely to find, like, a place and where the lonely can come and find safety in her home. And which is this verse that God said in Psalm 68:6, that God places the lonely in families. And actually, I felt like that wasn't just for us, but that was for wider, and that was for the church, that that I look around our church and there's so many things that people are doing, so many different activities, and there's obviously Cafe 22, and people are doing fostering and all sorts of things, and it's all part of that heart for the marginalised and lonely. And to be honest, everyone can probably go through a phase in their life where they're lonely or feeling isolated from the world, but God has a heart for them, and he wants to set the lonely in families, and he wants them to find a safe place to call home. And that's what we've called the vision of the 1830s, particularly as part of our wider church vision, that actually God wants for everyone to have a safe place called home. Will we be able to get everyone to have a safe place called home? No, but we can start the ball rolling. And we can have a heart for everyone who is suffering, for those who are in difficulty. And actually, I think that God wants to see a change in this community. He wants to see families restored. He wants to see addictions broken. He wants to see people coming to know him. And ultimately, if we know a safe place, a family is with God. It's God's family. And God's family should not be anything. You don't need to attain anything in this world. It's all about attainment. It's what you can fit in, how you can change yourself to fit the mold. But that's not God's family. God wants all sorts of... If your church doesn't reflect a wide, diverse range of people, then what is it doing? Because God's family is wide and diverse. He accepts everyone as they are, because Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. And everybody is accepted as they are. So that's what I felt for that.
Brilliant. Thank you, Dom. We just, when Dom shared this with us as wider leaders and senior leaders, we just really wanted to take hold of that, that actually we as a church are a family. And we want, as we develop a new Ashwood Centre, a new home for us, we want that to be a place where the lonely can find a home. Not because it's bricks and mortar, but because we, the family of God, are in it. And so that's our starting place for building a new building, is that we want it to be a place where the lonely can be set in families, and the place where people can call home. And so that is the backdrop for kind of this whole project. And we as senior leaders went to a Learning Communities Day a few months ago, which is organised by Ground Level, and it's a place where we can kind of look at and set vision, especially for mission and what we're going to do. And as part of that, we had kind of a prophetic time where each church present prayed for the other churches present, and this was spoke over us three words: heart, home, and hospitality. Heart, home, and hospitality. And that was really the person who shared this to start with, and then it got built on, was saying this is who she sees God is saying that we are right now as Ashwood. We're a place with a big heart. We're a place that is home. It's a place of hospitality, which kind of builds on what Dom was sharing with us. And we felt that this was really helpful for us as a church, that we're a place of heart, home, and hospitality, a place where the lonely can be set in families. And that's true of us now. As Ashwood Church, we're a place of heart, home, and hospitality, and it's true of us in the future, something that we want to grow into even more. And we think that this sense of what's now and what's going to grow, what we're going to grow into, is really important as we think about the new home for Ashwood. Claire and I went to see some people who work for Ashfield and Mansfield District Council in their regeneration department to talk about some of our thoughts and plans as we're developing a new Ashwood Centre. And we talked around it for quite a long time, and this guy was struggling to get his head around what it is we're trying to achieve. And then all of a sudden, what he said was, "Oh, I see. What you are doing is an upgrade. What you are doing is an upgrade." And we really came home and took that and went, actually, that again, it's a prophetic thing that we're not doing something new here. When we're talking about a new home for Ashwood, when we're talking about a new Ashwood Centre, we are not doing something new. We're doing something that we're building on what we're already doing in this place that we've been doing for the last 20 years, that we're going to keep on doing, setting the lonely in families, being a place of heart, home, and hospitality. We're not doing a new thing. We're doing an upgrade to allow us to continue to do the things that we're already doing and do them bigger and do them better. So we think that's really helpful for us to get hold of, that what we're doing is not a new thing. It is a new thing. God is going to do a new thing through this, but we're doing an upgrade to allow us to keep doing the things that we already do and be the people that we already are as Ashwood Church. I'm not going to go into detail with this now. What we've done is we've put together a vision document for the new Ashwood Centre, which kind of sets out what we want this place, this new place, to be and to look like. Some of these things are coming up on the slide, but there is one of these available for everyone to take home today, so you can kind of read it, let it sink in a little bit. And we've included in that it's a place where the lonely can find a safe place to meet other people, because we think that's really important. We want it to be a place for the glory of God to reach more people. Those of you who are at our mini conference will remember Steve talking about that then. We want it to be a centre for prayer and worship. We want our new Ashwood Centre to be a place where God's presence dwells, a thin place between heaven and earth. And I just think it's worth saying at this point, we want to speak to Ashfield District Council, the engagement, community engagement department, and the planning department, and the senior community engagement officer at Ashfield District Council. When we shared kind of some of this vision with them, this is what she said. She said, "You already do all of this. When we hired the centre for our volunteer event, we felt more than just a hirer. We were part of the community of Ashwood. And yes, there was a spiritual element to that. You could feel it." And we, like, that's just blown us away, that, again, it's just that sense that we're already doing it and we're going to do it bigger and better in our upgrade, but we want it to be a place where God's presence is, so that people who enter in can feel part of our family and can feel the presence of God. And we want it to be a place where people can grow spiritually in the Christian faith, a place where people can call their spiritual home, a place for all generations today and in the future, a place where people can find value and purpose, a place where the lonely can find a safe place to meet other people, a place where families can be strengthened, find healing and support if needed, and a place where children and young people can learn and grow in a fun environment, and a place where parents, carers, and family members can receive training and support in bringing up their children. So we want it to be a place where people can find a home, be part of our spiritual families, but also to be strengthened in their own families, to become stronger family units. And we believe that that is all part of God's plan and purpose for this place and for our community. So that's where we're at with the new Ashwood Centre. We've got a vision for it. We've got a vision for what we want to see and for what we can achieve. And so we're starting to put things in place now to make steps towards that. So we're doing some kind of conversations in our community at the moment about what are the great things that we already do, because we want to build on what we already do. This is an upgrade, it's not a new thing. So what have they observed about the great things that we already do, and what steps they can see for things to be bigger and better and improve the experience? But also, what skills and gifts and talents can people in church and community bring to that? We want to include people. Part of being part of family is getting stuck in, isn't it? And contributing and being part of that. And so we want that to start right now from the beginning, our community being involved in this whole process. So some of you, if you're in a life group, hopefully you've been asked these questions over the last few weeks, questions that we're asking of everyone who steps foot in this building, and people in the wider community, our stakeholders, were asking these questions. So hopefully you've had chance to input in that. If not, speak to your life group leader. If you're not in a life group, speak to one of us. We're going to have some focus groups over the next couple of months as well. So if there's more you want to feed in, you'll have chance to do that. But we're also asking these questions in every user group that meets in here, in the cafe, in Seesaw, in external hirers, U3A, the Labour Party. We've got all kinds of people who hire the centre. We're asking them, what do you love about this place, and what's going to make it even better going forward? We think that's a really important part of this process and part of building relationships and helping people feel part of this community, and setting the lonely in families and making our new place and our new Ashwood Centre a place where people can call home. So that's the first thing we're doing right now, is asking people these questions so they can be part of this process. Dave's going to come and talk to us now about the other thing we're doing right now as part of this process.
Thanks, Zoe. Good. Well, we've been on this journey for quite a long time, haven't we? It's been a long process, but it's been a good process. And it's good this morning to remind ourselves that we are doing what God is calling us to do now. And this is all just part of it. But what is very clear now is that we're moving into a season with owning the building and having more options, that we're moving into a season where the pace for the building project is really picking up speed. And there's been an awful, awful lot of work that's been done on this project over the years that we've been doing it. A lot of it, you know, we don't see it. We don't all the time. It's happening behind the scenes. I would just like to take the opportunity to thank everybody who is involved in that and has been involved in that process in whatever way over the last few years. But what is clear to us now is that we do need to pull together a team of people who can really pick up that mantle and run with it. And it's clear that we need a lot of people with a lot of different skills. And it's really encouraging to be in a church like this where we are so diverse and so different. And there's an awful lot of people with an awful lot of skills, which is fantastic. We've been looking at how other churches have been modelling this and how they've done their building projects and taking some of the advice that they've given. And so we've looked at the different types of roles that we would need in a project team. And so the senior leadership team and the trustees have together very carefully considered who we need to pull together to make this team. And I'm very pleased this morning to be able to announce to us all who is going to fulfil these roles. So Owen Wright is going to chair this team. Beth Torr is going to be heading up communications. Michelle Kroll is going to head up administration. Phil Lake in fundraising. The project managing is going to happen between Elaine Torr, John Butler, and Claire Bell. And we still have one other person just to finalise on heading up the finance. And these are people who bring a whole wealth of skill and knowledge to the table. And it's really important that we get behind them and encourage them and pray for them. But we need to know that we're all in this together. this isn't a team that we've just left the job to do and that we can all sort of sit back and go, right, great, it's gonna happen. These guys are going to devote more time and energy to it than a lot of us can do, but they need help. It isn't all down to them to do. This is a whole Ashwood Church project that we can all get involved with in helping, and they will need our help. And so we're very excited this morning to have this group of people who are willing to serve in this capacity. And you might be thinking, well, okay, so how else can I serve? What else can I do to get involved? Well, there's three things here. First is pray. We always put that first. You know, sometimes people will have that as the last resort, don't they? Well, you can always pray. Actually, prayer is the most powerful thing we can do, because actually, and this is the challenge, if you're going to pray, just be prepared for God to tell you whilst you're praying about how you can give and how you can serve. Because we want to be people who don't just pay lip service to the Spirit. We want to be people who hear from God and actually act on the Word of God and what God is saying to us. So let's pray. Pray for the guys who are involved, but also pray about how we can get involved. We're going to create opportunities to give. We are unashamedly going to do that, because actually this is a big project that needs an awful lot of resourcing, and one of those resources is finances and money. And so we need to be praying, God, what can I do? What can I give? What do you want me to give? On the 23rd of June, we're going to have a gift day. We're going to have, and we'll have these over, this won't be the only one. We're going to be having these over the foreseeable, but 23rd of June is going to be our first gift day. So pray, God, what do you want me to give? What can I give? You know, giving is great. It's God likes a joyful giver, doesn't he? Because, you know, when we give, it releases something, not just finances that we need, but when we give and when we're doing that out of obedience, God really blesses us. Might not be materially, but sometimes it is, but God really blesses us. And finally, serving. You know, look, if you could just stand up. If you're here this morning, and you could stand up. If you're not here this morning, then you don't need to worry. You get on with what you're doing wherever you are. But if you're not sure who the people are on the team, then these are the people that you need to come and talk to and say, look, how can I get involved? You can sit down again now if you want to. If you've not heard about something for a while and you're thinking, oh, it's all, you know, it's all happening behind the scenes, we do our best to communicate as well as we can and to get communication out. By the nature of things and a big organisation like this, it's not all, you know, we don't always get it 100% right, and there might be things that you might have missed or you might have not been around for. Don't just wait for that information. If you think, I've not heard anything, grab one of these and just get an update. Grab one of us, get an update. But just get, come and talk to the team and just offer your help. Ask how you can get involved. So that's good. It's exciting. We are a church of momentum on so many levels and in so many ways. And so it's really exciting this morning to be giving these updates, to be looking back. But as we end our time together now, we're going to finish just worshipping together, because it's so important that we put into context that everything that we do is for the purpose of building the kingdom of God. God is our focus. God is who we serve. And we're going to pray in a minute afterwards, but we're going to finish with fixing our eyes on Jesus, reminding ourselves that all that we've talked about this morning is for him. Thank you, Paul.